This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. So, the only thing left to say is, you win? Order now on the McDonald's app, and you can also get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus. Rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com. Welcome to the Chelsea Fancast preview show, our little gathering of a Friday to kind of wrap up what's been going on in the Chelsea world during the week, and of course look ahead to the weekend's game, which of course this weekend is the FA Cup tie against Luton Town. Now, other than me, Stamford Chidge, I have of course the Right Honourable Lord Privy Seal, Mr. Jonathan Kidd. Lord Seal of the Privy, even if you prefer.
I thought I was an earl last week.
A duke, maybe. Yeah, so how are you? You all right?
Great, thanks. Yeah, good. Yeah.
Lovely stuff. We've also got a bastion of the Chelsea Fancast and social media and everything, really. He's everybody's mate, really. Dan Silver.
Good evening, chaps.
Good to see you. Now,
good to be here.
We will later on, we're going to be hearing from a lovely young man called Lewis Williams, who... he does the Luton Town, an interesting title. I must ask him about this when he comes on, the Luton Town International Podcast. So there you go. And he'll obviously be giving the Luton Town perspective for the match on Sunday in the opposition view. And we'll obviously be talking about our own preview of it after him. But first up, we've got, I say this with feeling today. We have one of our own. He's our friend, actually. Okay. Mr. Liam Toomey of The Athletic. And as you know, we always have a journo on every Friday to discuss what's been going on in the Chelsea world and everything. Serendipity has meant that we have Liam on tonight. It's been a bit of a day for you, hasn't it, Liam? I think the first thing I should ask you is, how are you?
I'm fine, honestly. I've had a lot of messages asking me the same, but I feel a bit awkward about all of this because I think there isn't really any issue. Nah. You know...
You and Frank still mates. I think that's what we all want to know.
Well, I mean...
Explain what's happened for those who don't know, because there are those in
okay,
the
so,
brain for it who might not know.
Sure. So,
like, I mean, JK.
A
bit of the background to this, because I'm sure if you've only seen like the 1 minute clip, it won't make a lot of sense what actually happened. So basically Simon Johnson and I, published a story shortly after the Manchester City game a couple of weeks ago, a bit too shortly after the Manchester City game a couple of weeks ago for some people's liking, and I completely understand that.
We weren't too happy, as I recall.
Yeah, I completely understand why people have an issue with the timing. You know, it was a difficult decision, and the only thing I'd say is there's never a good time to run a story like that. But we were prepared for the reaction. And we, you know, the story was that Lampard's position was under threat. It was based on credible information that we'd heard in the preceding days and double and triple checked, because you don't report something like this lightly. And that, of course, has kind of launched the conversation or change the nature of the conversation around Chelsea in the last couple of weeks, with now credible information that, you know, the club are looking at alternatives and certain specific names have been reported. And I'm sure all of these things are annoying Frank Lampard, and it's completely understandable that they would be, and that they'd be annoying people at Chelsea. The other relevant bit of context, I think, to what happened today is that I wrote a piece earlier this week, which was a tactical piece, in which I went through a program we've got called Y Scout, we've got access to.
The very fine piece, Liam, very fine indeed.
Yeah, sort of went frame by frame through some sort of key stretches of the Leicester game, because the more, especially when I went back and watched it, you know, I often find that process helps me when I go back and watch a game again to actually better understand what's happened. And it seemed like all of the issues that we've been talking about with the Lampard era were all evident in one game. You know, the issues that have come up more with the current squad, and the issues that were in some of Chelsea's worst performances last season as well. So that piece was written just purely from that perspective, to highlight all of these things are now happening at once. And the fact that they're all happening at once, and they're happening relatively consistently, because it was quite similar against Manchester City as well, is a big problem. And when you couple that with everything we're hearing in the background about the perilous nature of Lampard's job, it's a bleak outlook right now. And none of that was intended as personal criticism of any of players or of Lampard himself. We're just kind of trying to talk about the situation as it is. But I understand, obviously, that, well, Lampard made it clear today he didn't like that piece.
Which piece?
I don't know which piece you didn't
Well,
like.
That's the piece, JK, that I worked so hard on today in the notes that I even put a link into it. Because,
you know, I've read it.
Well, that's the piece. That's
no, did you mean the first piece?
No, that's the piece we're talking about. Top heavy and lacking belief where Chelsea are going wrong.
For clarity, anybody listening, that's all.
Yeah. I suspect the news story about Lampard's job being under threat also played a part in his reaction today, but what he stated was the piece that I wrote earlier this week.
I think, look, you know, the irony, of course, about today was that I read that piece today and I thought it was, look, you're a journalist. I write as well. We like to write in particular ways. So, yeah, I can see that there may have been a few things that were a bit prosaic, you know, in terms of what you were saying about Frank. But actually, I thought it was a really good piece. I thought tactically you nailed it. I would have made the same points tonight. And in fact, I kind of have in my running order in my own way, but they're not a million miles away from what you were saying. Can I just finish up on what happened in the presser today? Because, you know, my own view on it, Liam, is that, you know, you're a big boy, you're an adult, you can handle it. You know, I love you to pieces, and you can write whatever you want to write. I love Frank Lampard too, and he's a big boy. And, you know, if he doesn't like something, he's absolutely entitled to say it. There's a duality to Frank doing that. You know, you can argue whether it was right to do that publicly or not, but, you know, he's entitled to be upset. He's entitled to air it. I wonder if there might be something, you know me, I can't help it being a psychotherapist. I wonder if there's something else going on as well, you know, because the thoughts when I heard it was, well, why you, you know, I mean, I know you were there, so that, of course, made you quite an easy target. But why you, why now? Maybe he's sending out another message. And I think, you know, the players were shonky as hell against Leicester. There's no denying it. I love them all to pieces, but I can call them out when I think they played shit, and they did. Maybe what he's trying to do is to deflect some attention off them. I remember that this is a guy who played under Mourinho for a long time. What do you reckon?
Well, there's a couple of things there. The first is that if you look at the context of the presser, he was pretty short and chippy building up to that point.
He's not in a good mood, is he?
No, he wasn't in a good mood for the entire press conference.
I don't blame him.
Yeah, and of course, it's completely understandable in the context. And he seemed to get more riled as the inevitable questions came about whether he was feeling pressure and his future and what it felt like to see other managers' names linked with his job. And then I think my question came after all of that, and the fact that it was me and he clearly had this piece in his head, he saw an opportunity to address that, even though I was asking a question about something completely different. The other thing, I think, is he definitely dressed up his response to me as kind of defending his players.
Yeah.
He phrased it as if your criticism of the players has been unfair, not objective. He mentioned confirmation bias as well. And I guess I'm not really the best person to talk about that, because that's the way confirmation bias works.
I'm
it's
glad
better
you
if someone else
I know
I've got it or not.
I know Dan's desperate to come in, and I promise, Dan, I will go to you next. But I mean, we were giggling on WhatsApp. And of course, you know, people probably don't know this. We have our own Chelsea Fancast WhatsApp group, and Liam is on it. He's one of the Chelsea Fancast, as are Sam and Adam. And we speak very freely. Obviously, there's a golden rule. It's a bit like Fight Club. What's said in the Chelsea Fancast WhatsApp group stays in the one Chelsea WhatsApp app group. But I've mentioned confirmation bias a lot recently to people, anybody who's cared to listen. You know me, I'm not fussy. Because I've been saying for weeks that I think there's just an assumption that Frank will get the sack, because there's this assumption that that's what Chelsea do. And I think if you go back in the last three managers, that's not actually necessarily the case. But anyway, enough of me. Dan.
Yeah, I'll just say, you know, Frank's got this job probably too early in his career. What's he, 2 years into management? And this is probably the first time he's actually faced some severe criticism, because last year was a free reign pretty much, because he hadn't spent any money, picking up a team on the back of a transfer ban. And now we've had a decent run, albeit not setting the world alight. And this is probably the first time in his career he's had a real struggle. It's new to him, and he's got to get used to it. And also, I think, you know, it's hard when people criticising your work. You know, you're entitled to it. And I think a more experienced manager may have a different reaction, because he's learning his game as well. He's been, you know, he's got the top job probably too early in his career. And, you know, where's he go from here? He knows this is his big opportunity, which you don't turn down Chelsea regardless. He's now 18 months into it. It's not all doom and gloom. If you look at other teams around us, it's a crazy season. You know, we win two games and other teams drop points, and it's a whole different ball game. We're not massively adrift, and it's a whole sort of, you know, this is what Chelsea done in the past. Well, yeah, it's a very different Chelsea. This is not Chelsea of 6-7 years ago with international captains throughout the team. It's not a Chelsea team that was bullying and dominating players. We're almost resetting.
He's just a rod for his own back, though, Dan, hasn't he, by having 17 matches unbeaten? That was the trouble, I think.
Yeah, well, listen, he got to fourth spot last year, which nobody really expected. And listen, the problem is the whole team is inexperienced, with the exception of Thiago Silva, seriously inexperienced, and the backroom staff are inexperienced. You know, Jody Morris, Neil Edwards, the guy they got from Wigan as a defensive coach, they've got no experience. There's no wise head. You know, Frank's got no one to talk to. All the people he knows, like Jose, etc., are you know, in jobs. He hasn't got anyone to talk to.
There's always Harry, Dan.
Yeah. Harry, just so you know, you take it back hand.
Down at the bare bones, Frank. Down at the bare bones. Ask Rosie.
I'm kind of, my view is this, and we're halfway through the season. We're not adrift. I think if we were adrift, severely adrift.
Look at Liverpool, we were saying before the show, weren't we? We look at Liverpool.
Yeah.
Liverpool. You know, all this about compare Lampard to Klopp. The only thing you can compare is that Liverpool gave Klopp time. You know, Klopp was a serial winner before he came to Liverpool. So in terms of like for like, you can't compare. But Liverpool gave Klopp time. It took 4 years to get to where they are now. That's what it's all about. Listen, they're going to give Frank time or they're not. It's kind of like it's binary, isn't it? They're going to stick with him. If we become 7, 8, 9, 10 points adrift, then I think, you know, they push the
button. I mean, just to put a line under that, Dan, my own view is that I think that they'll wait till the end of the season. That's my own view. Yeah. I've written about that, and there it is. Anyway, enough of me. Jonathan, I know you're champing to get to the end.
I was going
to
say that Bruce Buck's given his vote of confidence.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Is that real?
No, that's fake.
And he did
that's
that to fake. Ancelotti 2 weeks
is,
before
is
he signed
it real?
Him.
Is it fake news? I don't
that's
know.
Fake. What are you...
Go on,
is that
Dan,
fake?
You know,
because
you
they
know.
Spelt centre the American way.
Oh, have they?
Bruce is American. Maybe they're a bit offended.
The Chelsea community would not write that bad English. Just a really awful, awful bit of English.
Let's ask somebody who might know. Do you know what we're talking about, Liam? There was something certainly on Facebook yesterday.
I rarely know what you're talking about.
That's the most sensible thing I've heard in about 13 years.
all these references to old TV shows and bands that I come on here. I'm sitting here soaking it in, but it's kind of.
I know.
Like Life on Mars.
Somebody compared us to the Golden Girls the other week. I think it was Dan,
was
actually.
There you go. I love that.
Anyway, enough.
Can I just say one final
yes,
thing?
Yes, of course, Chish? You can.
Just like the one. The reason why I've kind of felt a little bit awkward about today, I put one tweet out. I mean, I was the nature of the press conference. After you ask your question, you're muted. So I didn't want to get involved into a sustained exchange with Frank Henry. I might have followed up with any injuries, but aside from that, I didn't really have any desire to. But the one thing I'd say is that everyone else has made a big deal out of this. Today, I put one tweet out just, and that was it for me. But all I'd say is, like, this isn't. I don't see this as an issue. I wrote what I wrote. Lampard is completely within his rights to let me know what he thinks about it publicly or privately if he wants to, about anything else I write. And none of it really matters, because the only thing that actually matters is how Chelsea play on the pitch, and that's the only thing that's going to make. Yeah. A material difference to whether he stays in this job or not.
Yeah,
Dan. When you give your questions at the press, sir, do you have to give them in advance?
No.
So Frank wasn't aware it was coming, so he can't prepare for it, as it were. So you can ask whatever you want off the bat, and then nobody controls what you say, to a point. I mean, is Atkins on the
speaker's phone? A question second. Liam, do you not feel good, though, that he's clearly read your article? Seriously,
it's flattering.
He's
yes.
paying attention to you. I think that's completely. Personally, I think it's fantastic. I love the idea because you're part of that elite group. The fact, surely, but with your peers, they're going bloody hell. He's paying attention to this excellent article. So, in a sense, if he's got under his skin,
it's certainly flattering. Yeah. I now worry whether I've lost a subscriber. we'll see.
Well, but, I tell you, no, I said on WhatsApp, Liam, didn't I? I said the fact that he mentioned confirmation bias sent a shiver down my spine. So I thought, shit, we've been saying that on the Fancast for weeks. He's probably listening to the bloody Fancast. I must share the story with the listener that I shared with you guys on WhatsApp, which is absolutely true. Darren, Frank used to run a pub in Chelsea, and Darren knew this and knew that he would be in there with Christine. And Darren stalked him, because you know what Darren's like. So Darren stalked him and basically stalked him and found him in the pub and presented Frank Lampard with a jiffy bag which contained a Chelsea Fancast T-shirt and several CDs of issues of the show. And this must have been, I don't know, 8 years ago, maybe 9 years ago. So there's a very good chance that Frank does listen, in fact, to the Chelsea Fancast. So I think on that basis, we are probably next. So maybe he'll phone in on the show and say, "Oi, no!" But anyway, look, very quickly, Liam. I mean, God, I really didn't want this to be the entire 20 minutes. But, you know, clearly it's a serendipitous opportunity for us all, really, isn't it? I mean, you wrote a very long article about it, so to expect you to say it in 30 seconds is really unfair. But if there was, maybe if I pick out something that was salient to what I thought about Leicester, and I kind of summed it up. We haven't done a review of it yet, because obviously it was on Tuesday. But had we, I would have said, for me, the big problem at the moment is we're too easy to defend against and too easy to attack. And what I thought was really interesting in your article was something, again, that we've been saying on the show a lot, which is there's a problem with the midfield here, folks. Now, we know that Kante wasn't playing, which I think, you know, exacerbates the problem. But I thought your idea about the 2-2-6 formation, I mean, you know, Mike Bassett's probably wetting himself with that idea. But, I mean, that was clearly a problem, wasn't it?
Well, it was just... The lineup was strange to me the moment it came out. It looked incredibly attacking. When the deepest line midfielder is Kovacic, who we know we've seen him play that deepest line role before. I don't think he's ever played it well, because he doesn't have the defensive instincts for it. And we know how far forward Lampard always sends Chilwell and James, and that's kind of their biggest contribution to Chelsea, is their attacking contribution, really. In this system, he basically set up the team in a way that meant they would regularly be caught with two players back against maybe the best counter-attacking team in the Premier League. And Jamie Vardy's the best counter-attacking striker maybe I've ever seen. But yeah, so it struck me as a strange team, and it played out that way on the pitch. Look, we saw in the Conte era that 3-4-3 would regularly become a front five when Chelsea had the ball. So it's something that can work very well, but the difference was they always had three defenders. They always had two midfielders who were kind of a bit more conservative. There was balance in the setup, and it certainly didn't feel that way against Leicester, but there's been quite a few occasions now where it doesn't feel like there's a balance in the team, and the structure kind of collapses at key moments.
All right, mate.
Bewildering selection of Rudiger, who just displayed all the errors that he made last season and relegated himself, we thought, to fifth choice. So the fact that he's been playing him he made all the same errors again. You just think, I don't understand what's going on. That's why we keep looking for something else behind the scenes, particularly with the Tomori business. You just think, how has he managed to end up in the first team? Surely there's something, there's personality going on here, or a kind of battle somewhere. I'm confused by this kind of selection when he was absolutely awful in the game. You just think...
It is weird, isn't it? Look, Liam, we've got to let you go in a minute, sadly. I mean, we could have had an hour and a half on this, but as we've got such an appalling reputation for timekeeping, I'm determined that the Friday show doesn't descend into those depths. But final question, really. I mean, do you think that Frank can turn this round?
Based on the things we've been hearing since kind of the beginning of January, and bear in mind that there's a lot that we've heard that we haven't written, because that's just the nature of journalism. You can only write what you're absolutely sure of at the right time. I'm inclined to believe no. This feels very much like a situation where he might not go soon. He might well be given till the end of the season. A lot of that depends on results. But it's hard to see him being trusted now to be the man to oversee this long term.
That was a really clever answer, thank you. Because I was about to go and say that's not really what I asked, but actually you answered what I did ask in two different ways, which just shows what a genius you are. Because I think what you're really trying to say is that, like me, you think that actually in the long run, which of course is the wonderful John Maynard Keynes, in the long run we're all dead, so what does that mean? But in the long run, yes, Frank can turn it round, but actually the club have decided that he fulfilled his use in a season where we had a transfer ban where they wouldn't have been able to hire anybody, in their eyes, decent anyway. So now they've decided that, okay, well, you know, Frank's not up to it yet, so we'll actually better get somebody in who is. Is that what you're really saying?
Well, and the decision isn't up to him, is it? He can't control that. So,
no.
I mean, even at the moment, performances are trending the wrong way. Even if they start trending the right way, what I'm saying is it's difficult to see in terms of the current direction of travel and the kind of...
Yeah, but that can change. That can change, and I think that's what you and I were both saying.
Results can change the complexion, definitely, and they can make people feel a little bit more reassured about things. But the conversations that are being had right now, when they reach this stage in the Abramovich era, it generally only means one thing, which means there will be a change. It just is a question of when.
So there you go. Same old bloody Chelsea, back to the drawing board. Liam, I've got to let you go, sadly. Well done for coming on, mate. I appreciate that must have been difficult today. So fair play for you to come on tonight and explain what happened. We love you still.
That's all right. Yeah,
we love Frank Lampard more, but we still love you, all right?
I accept that. I never enjoy reporting on managers under pressure, but unfortunately, when you cover Chelsea, it's part of the job, mate.
Occupational hazard, isn't it?
Remember, Liam, you'll be here when he's gone. So, it's better that way.
Well, that's something to remember. We're all, the only constant in a football club is the supporters. Maybe the people who run the club should bear that in mind sometimes. Anyway, Liam, brilliant. Well done, mate. We'll see you very, very soon. You take care. Have a good weekend. Go and have a beer or something. That's what I would do.
Appreciate you guys. Enjoy your evening.
We will. Cheers, mate. Lovely stuff. There you go. Liam Toomey there of The Athletic. Now almost as famous as Frank Lampard. Now, after the break, as I promised you, we're going to have the opposition view. We've got a lovely young lad who's waiting in the wings called Lewis Williams. We will see you in a minute.
We Real fans, real opinions.
I'm Jason Cundy, and you're listening to the Chelsea Football Fancast. Proper Chelsea.
Footballfancast.com.
Right, welcome back to the Chelsea Fancast. This is me, Stamford Chidge, and I've got Jonathan Kidd with me. The lovely Dan Silver. He's gone to sleep.
Oh,
no, he's back. There you go. And he's back. Anyway, we also had Liam Toomey on from The Athletic in the first part, which is really obviously very interesting given the presser today. But there we go. Now it's time for this.
The Opposition View.
Yeah, that's right. Time for the opposition view, where we get to talk to somebody who knows far more about the opposition, which, of course, is Luton Town in the FA Cup this weekend, than we will ever know. We have the lovely Lewis Williams with us. Good evening, Lewis.
Hello, guys. Are you well?
Well, I'm better now. I've got a beer. But yeah. So come on, tell us. Tell us. You're not a podcaster. You're a YouTuber, aren't you?
Yes, I make video content on YouTube where I do match previews, match reactions, basically anything Luton Town related I make, and then also a little bit of championship content.
All right, good stuff. How long have you been doing that for?
Been doing that since I was 16, so around about 5-6 years now.
Yeah, nice one, good for you. All right, well, let's get straight into it. Now, you know, I know, you know, it's obviously, I mean, all of the people listening to this will get this. I mean, we're all quite excited about playing Luton on Sunday, for possibly one reason and one reason alone. And that's the last time that we played Luton was in the 1994 FA Cup semi-final, which obviously, you know, is historic for us because it led to our first final at Wembley in the FA Cup anyway, certainly for 24 years. But actually more notable, more noteworthy for the fact that my favourite human being on the planet, Mr. Kerry Dixon, who's a Luton boy, of course, was playing for you lot, and we sang his name. But our first thought at 90 minutes was not that we'd got to our first FA Cup final for 24 years, but it was to sing Kerry Dixon's name. And he's gone on record, and I've talked to him about this. It's the most emotional Chelsea moment he had in his life, even if he was playing for you lot. I also happen to know that I don't think you were actually born then.
No, I was not.
So I can't talk to you about what it was like to be there, obviously, Lewis, but, you know, what I would ask you is there a relationship between Luton and Chelsea? Is there a relationship between Luton and Kerry? You know, do you guys, you know, I mean, that was the last time you lot would have been obviously in a semi-final of a cup. And in fact, actually, I think that season, well, you'd about two seasons before you'd actually got relegated from the from the Division One, you never quite made it to the Premier League. And of course, it's all been a bit disastrous since then. So where do you stand on all of that?
To be fair, my family are obviously all Luton Town fans, and I'm thinking my dad and my granddad both went to that semi-final. But nothing's really been said regards to the relationship between Luton and Chelsea. The only thing which I can think of in my head was when you signed the De Silva brothers from us in the academy.
Yeah.
That's the only latest thing I can think about, which is recent.
Yeah, I mean, these boys will know, Jonathan and Dan in particular, you know, it seems really odd to be playing Luton, or more to the point, odd that we haven't played them for so long, because we've actually played Luton a fair amount of times. I mean, you know, it was quite a fixture in the day. I mean, there's also a bit of naughtiness going on in the 80s as well, which I remember. I mean, what are your memories of playing Luton, Dan?
I think I remember going to Kenworth Road. We got beat 2-0, and I was right at the very front. I'm absolutely soaked.
Well, we got banned from there a few times, didn't we?
Chairman. Yeah, I think Kingsley Black might have scored, I think, rings a bell. But don't go, we've had like Mick Harford as well, as another link between Chelsea and Luton. We had Mick Harford for a season, because he was your manager up until recently, wasn't he?
Didn't Mark Steen play for Luton?
He did.
Yeah, Mark Steen. Yeah. We signed him from Stoke. Yeah, I think it's hard to remember. I think, did Graham Massow make his debut against Luton at home?
Hell. I can't remember what happened last week.
I'm pretty sure he made his debut and got sent off against Luton towards the end of the season. I think we drew 3-3. So I've got a few memories, but I definitely remember going to Kenilworth Road and getting absolutely soaked and getting beaten 2-0.
That would have possibly been in 1991. That's the last league game we had against them, I think.
Yeah, it would have been, because I think I just heard.
We beat them 4-1 at home, but there we go. So
I remember when we went down and my dad
phoned Eric Morecambe up to try and get a couple of tickets for the director's box. And
Because basically, Lewis, his dad is Ernie Wise. No, I'm joking.
I don't think Lewis knows what we're talking about, Chidge.
Eric Morecambe, you know who Eric Morecambe is?
Yeah, I know who
Eric Morecambe
is. Yeah, but not Ernie Wise, though.
Well, why not? It's Morecambe and Wise, you great Wally.
I just felt the blank look on his face gave it away slightly. I thought slightly.
Only a little bit.
A little bit of exactly. And I went along thinking, we'll be far too good for this team. Went to Kennel. We didn't get the director's box. We got a couple of tickets in the stand, which was very lovely of him. And we lost at Kenilworth Road. And I think that's the last time.
Yeah. Listen, I mean, what I've been desperate to ask Lewis, because, I mean, you know, really, Luton, for us, I mean, this is the point, really. Last time we played you was in 94. And they've very much been out of sight and out of mind ever since. And, you know, as I said, that couple of seasons before you got relegated from Division One, what on earth has happened to Luton? Because they kind of really, really went down. I mean, you're back up now. I mean, you're mid-table in the Championship, but you've had a torrid time, haven't you? What happened?
Everything that you could possibly imagine has happened to Luton over the last 20 years. Dodgy owner who destroyed everything about the club. And then it's been like a massive rebuilding job from there, really. We were harshly treated by the Football League. You know, the minus 30 points in League Two, you know, no other clubs ever had that despite breaking the same rules since. So we've just been recovering from what the previous owner did and what the Football League have done to us. So we're climbing back up. We're getting there. It may take a little bit longer. Stadium's on its way. Academy's improving. You know, the only way is up for us, really. We keep progressing.
So you got a new stadium coming?
Yeah, it's going to be built in 3 years' time, Power Court.
So you're leaving Kenilworth Road?
Yeah, it's going to be a shame, but yeah, if we want to progress as a football club, we kind of need to leave Kenilworth Road. Mm.
That's interesting. I didn't know that. Now, what I do know about Luton is that, you know, Nathan Jones, you know, garnered quite a reputation as a manager, didn't he? And he got kind of headhunted by Stoke City, which at the time was a big leap for Nathan because they'd only just got relegated from the Premier League. They had money, you know, they had good owners. He didn't do very well there. He didn't last long there, and he went back to Luton. But he's a highly regarded manager, and he's quite smart, isn't he? He likes to tinker a bit and change things around, and he's very much a horses for courses kind of manager. And from what I understand, and this is where I get worried, gents. You know me; I'm such a pessimist. But he likes to play 5-3. You know, he'll play five at the back basically, but he'll also defend occasionally with a high line, which means, you know, either we can hit you on the break, but also he will quite often like to hit teams on the break. So I'm a bit confused as to how he might set up against Chelsea.
We've played five at the back a few times this year, but it's not our go-to formation. Normally it's a 4-3-3 or a 4-2-3-1. We were famous under Nathan Jones for playing the diamond, but then obviously you can't really play that type of system in the Championship or Premier League. But we do play with a high line. But five at the back against you guys, I don't think he will go down that route on Sunday. I think because of we lack left-footers recently with some players leaving on loan. So I've got a feeling he will play four at the back.
Right. Why won't he play? I mean, you know, the cynical amongst the Chelsea supporters, Lewis, will say, well, what do you mean? He'll probably be playing 10 at the back, won't he?
To be fair, every team we play, we go for it. You know,
you think they will on Sunday?
Yeah, 100%. When we played Manchester United in the Carabao Cup at the start of the season, we didn't play our strongest lineup, and Man United had to bring on over £100 million worth of players to kill the game off. You know, so and we didn't play five at the back against United. So I feel like with under Nathan, we go for it every game. There's never a game under Nathan where we've gone, you know what, we're going to sit back for 90 minutes and just defend it because we're not good enough. That's not Luton. We like to play against teams. We like to give it our all. And when we were in League Two, we went to Newcastle in the FA Cup. We lost 3-1 that day, but we gave them a good go and we didn't play five at the back away to Newcastle. I know Newcastle and Chelsea, no, there's a massive difference there, but we have that, you know, reputation of don't be scared of the other team, you know, fight it. We live for these types of games, basically, is what I'm trying to say.
Well, it's a shame, you know, I mean, we say this every bloody week when we get to play a team we haven't played for a long time or a lower league team. That's such a shame that you can't be there because it's potentially a great day out for you. And, of course, this is a great time to be playing Chelsea. I mean, what do you think of what Lewis has said there, Dan?
Yeah, I think it talks a lot of sense. I mean, Nathan Jones, obviously, you know, good manager, he's a great reputation. And for whatever reason, it didn't work out at Stoke. I don't think they necessarily bought into his ethos, his world respects. And I like the fact they're going to come and attack us. It's great to see. I mean, who's going to be your danger man? Have you got like, you know, your key man? Is there like someone who like pulls the strings or who'll be the man to watch?
For us, it's Dewsbury Hall. He's well known from Leicester City, and without him, I don't know where Luton would be this year. He will be playing in the Premier League next year, so I'd be watching out for him if I was you guys, because Leicester fans rate him highly. They all wanted him to be recalled back, but we've gone past the recall date. But he's highly rated. Like,
what position
is he playing? He's centre mid. So he plays a little bit like, he's a bit like Kevin De Bruyne or David Silva type of player. Very good technically.
What's his name again? Hall, did you say?
Dewsbury Hall. Sorry, Lewis. Yeah. Kieran Dewsbury Hall. But he scored 2 second half goals in his last 4 appearances. But James Collins is your main striker, isn't he? He's got 9 goals this season. We've played against him. He played for Shrewsbury when we played them in the Cup a few years back.
Where would you say your weaknesses are if Chelsea are looking to exploit? I assume you say down the left because you haven't got any sort of natural left footers or.
No, we've got, like, I didn't really explain the left footer situation properly. It's just, we've got left footers, but then we're not the greatest team attacking down the left-hand side. We've got Dan Potsy, who isn't the best attacking left-back. Our right-back, James Breeze, the better attacking right-back. Yeah. But I feel like the way you're going to score is probably set pieces against us, because we're not the best at defending them. Counter-attacks, because we've got slow centre-backs. So when we do play a high line, if you ping the ball over the top, they ain't going to catch them.
Yeah.
So I do think counter-attacks, I feel it's quite hard to say because we play better against teams who play football. That makes sense. Yeah. It's when you play a physical style of play against us, that's when we flop and that's where we start not becoming the Luton which we love watching. So in the Championship, you've got Millwall, Cardiff, Middlesbrough. Those types of teams play like such a defensive style of play,
Lewis.
And physical.
Hoolis ball.
Yeah, there you go. Bournemouth, they play the game on the floor, play attractive football, but we love playing against teams like that because we know how to play against them and we know where their weaknesses are and we can obviously try and beat them that way. That's why I believe we will go at you guys in this game.
Although you have had a problem scoring away, haven't you? You've not got many goals away from home recently.
Yeah, that's the problem at home as well. We struggle to create chances and then when we do create chances, we're not clinical in front of goal. And I think that's down to lack of Championship quality. Collins is a Championship striker now, but this year he's not been the same player. He's missed a lot of like sitters this year, which he doesn't normally miss. So going forward for us is where it's going to be a problem. That's what worries me in this game a little bit, because if we do get a chance, like against Chelsea, you're going to have to take it. But in my head, I don't think we are going to take it because we're just not clinical in front of goal. But then again, the game against Bournemouth away, that proved me wrong. We took Dewsbury Hall, had his second chance of the game and he took it. So it just depends how clinical we are on the day.
Hang on, Dan. Jonathan?
If you went ahead, would you then defend? Is that in the nature of the team particularly? Or
it depends how the game's going. If we go ahead in the first half, I don't see why we wouldn't push for a second in the second half, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. If we score, like I say, after an hour, then I could see us defending and just like holding on to the lead. It just depends on how the game's
when
going.
When it is in the game, yeah, I understand. Yeah.
Sorry, Dan, you wanted to chip in with something?
Yeah, I was going to say, I guess it's a free hit for you guys, isn't it? I mean, you know, not expected to do anything, so you can pretty much go carefree and just enjoy the day.
Yeah, well, there's no pressure on us whatsoever. Yeah. All the pressure's on you guys to beat us.
Well,
obviously, Lampard's is massively under pressure
Yeah, as I said, Lewis, it's a really good. It's a good, you know, if. I mean, quite normally you would say there's never a good time to play, you know, a top side. But I think if ever there is a good time to play us, it's Sunday. Chelsea were awful against Leicester on Tuesday. They just looked clueless and had no balls really, to put it bluntly. So I don't know. I mean, it could go either one way, couldn't it? I mean, you could put the fit. I mean, we're so good in the cup. This is the thing, and we're actually really, really good. Gone are the days when we're all old enough to remember when Chelsea would play a lower league team, decide to take the day off and get beaten. But I mean, actually, the reality is, in the kind of the modern version of Chelsea, you just don't really see that anymore. I mean, there's only two games that I can remember in the last 20 years where we've done that, and one was losing against Barnsley on a cabbage patch. Yeah. The worst one was losing to bloody Bradford City, who turned us over 4-2, having been 2-0 down, which is one of the most horrific experiences I've had at Chelsea for a long time, which led to me getting very drunk afterwards, it has to be said. So it could be a good time to play Chelsea, but the reality is it's going to be really tough for you. So how do you see it going?
Yeah, like you said, it's going to be tough. I just want us to give you guys a fight. Don't make it easy. We are going to lose. Let's not lose 4-5-0. Let's try it. Like, for me, let's make it respectable. Like, respect it. Enjoy the occasion, but just try, you know. Like, in the last two away games which we've had Bournemouth and Brentford, both teams looking to get promotion to the Premier League. So we kind of are going into this game on the back of two very good away performances. Even though we lost against Brentford, we still put in a very good second half performance. So I just want us to fight. If we can fight, that's all I care about. Just showing that fight and believe that we can do it. Like you said, Bradford done it and so did Barnsley. Why can't we?
Yeah, fair enough. So come on then, how's it going to go? What's your prediction, Lewis?
I reckon you guys are going to win 2-0. I think Lampard's job, it's too much at risk. The players have to perform. Like, there's no excuses for you guys not to beat us. It's what I'm trying to say. Like, the amount of money you've spent, your squad's worth so much more than ours. So for me, there's no excuses. But there's no pressure on us.
Yeah, indeed. Anybody else before we let Lewis go?
I think, isn't Kante playing on Sunday? I think he might be back as well, so the pressure might be less on them.
They may not risk him, though, but we'll see.
I don't think he's in the squad, JK.
All right, Lewis, you've been fantastic, mate. Thank you so much for joining us. I mean, I'd like to wish you all the luck in the world, but I can't possibly do that for Sunday, as I'm sure you understand. But, you know, as somebody who's old enough to remember when Luton had a really decent side, you know, going back to the kind of the 80s, you know, it'd be lovely to see you get back up there. So I can certainly wish you luck for the rest of the season in the Championship and maybe get into the playoffs and have a crack at getting back into the Premier League.
Thank you, guys. Thank you for having me on.
No, pleasure, mate. You take care.
Well done, mate. Really excellent. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
If you just zip out, Lewis, and then we'll pick up.
Just quickly, one question,
Yeah,
guys.
Yeah, of course.
Do you reckon you're going to be playing a strong lineup against us? Like, what type of lineup do you reckon?
Yes, I do, but we're going to talk about that in a minute. But yeah, I do, because I think so many of our players are out of form. He needs to play them back into form. That's my own view. But you know, normally he would maybe put about three or four youngsters in, but you've got to remember, you know, we've got three or four youngsters playing for us every week now, so it's a bit weird. But I think you might end up playing a pretty strong lineup on Sunday. Sorry to disappoint you.
Well,
there you go. Fair play.
We don't know, do we, Chidge?
Good thing is Kep will be in goal, so you got a chance.
Oh, God, Kep will be in goal. Shit.
Kep in, yeah, that's
fine. Oh, okay, that makes me a little bit more happier now.
All right, lovely stuff. Lewis, good to see you, mate.
See you, guys. Take care.
Terrific, thanks.
Right, that was brilliant. Lovely to hear from Lewis Williams there, who's a Luton Town blogger, YouTube blog. Is it a vlogger, JK? Is it a vlogger? I don't know.
He's got his own channel. He's in charge of his own destiny. Isn't
channel
he?
Director.
He's a
broadcast executive.
Exactly.
He might give us a job, JK. Yeah, you never know.
Nice.
Anyway, it was brilliant. I really enjoy that, as I always do. Now, after this very quick break, it's our turn to tell you what we think is going to happen on Sunday. Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. You in? Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Chidge.
JK. In all the years you've been following Chelsea, you hardly ever miss a match, home or away. But how would you feel if you couldn't be there and it's not on TV?
Oh, Chidge, I'd be bereft. Inconsolable. The thought of missing my beloved Blue Boys live.
It's all too much.
I know, JK, I know. It's all a bit too much, isn't it?
Yes.
Well, panic not. NordVPN have come to the rescue.
They have?
Yep, NordVPN allows us to watch any match, even if it's not on live TV here.
They do?
Yeah, they do. With just one click, they switch your virtual location to a country which is showing the match, and they act as your cyber bodyguard whilst online, protecting your personal data and sensitive info like card details and passwords.
Oh, wow, great. But yeah, I bet that'll cost me a fortune.
Actually, JK, it's only the price of a cup of coffee per month, and you can use your account across 6 devices. It's a bargain, JK. And best of all, no more tears for you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, NordVPN. I'm so happy. I could cry. Where do I sign up, Ginge?
Well, to get the best discount off your NordVPN plan, go to nordvpn.com/Chelsea Fancast. There's no risk with Nord's 30-day money-back guarantee, and you'll help support the Chelsea Fancast. The link is in the podcast episode description box.
Real fans, real opinions.
I'm Jason Cundy, and you're listening to the Chelsea Football Fancast. Up the Chelsea!
Footballfancast.com.
Right, welcome back. This is the Chelsea Fancast Friday night preview show with me, Stamford Chidge, him down there, Mr. Jonathan Kidd.
Whoop.
And him up there, Mr. Dan Silver.
Hello, hello.
Of course, that's meaningless when I actually, you know, kind of introduce you locationally.
We get it, though.
You get it, but nobody else have a bloody clue what I'm talking about.
According to my gallery, I'm above Dan. So in fact, I shouldn't be. I'm not actually down there.
You are.
I'm above. I don't mean that. Maybe I don't mean that metaphorically.
This is like that.
Physically with.
It's like that 60s sketch. I look up to him, but I look down to him. You know, I always love that. Anyway, we should get on with it. Really, we had a lovely chat with Lewis Williams, who's a Luton Town YouTuber. Very interesting to hear from him. And I mean, he kind of was quite interested. I mean, it was off air, really, but he was quite interested in what kind of team we think might happen on Saturday. So it's probably most sensible to start with that. As you know, because I said, you know, kind of off air, I think, JK, that Frank is going to start a pretty strong team, because I think after the debacle against Leicester, it's just so clear. I mean, actually, somebody, I wish I noted these things down at the time, but I do remember somebody putting a tweet out. Which basically listed most of Chelsea's squad saying either out of form or never been in form, which I thought was a bit harsh, but actually quite fair. But I mean, the reality is that so many players are really out of form, and he needs to get a tune out of these guys. So I think he's going to start with a pretty strong side.
Well, I find the words out of form just really bewildering, because they were so awful.
Oh, Chilwell, for example, out of form.
Got shadow of his former self to a degree. You think, God, they paid over 50 million for him. I almost said 1,000, of a different era. I found the performance utterly bewildering. So you wonder whether he might give a chance to several people who we haven't seen before, you know, give Timo Andrin a go. I mind you, I said this for the last round, we were hoping he would play just because he's done well for the youth. And it gives another option. But at the moment, it seems that Frank keeps going on about the basics, but it's a kind of sort of actually being committed to the team that appears to be missing as well from it, which I find very, very difficult to cope with. You just watch in slight disbelief that it's not a question of downing tools that we talked about before, but there appears to be no teamwork and a complete lack of everything we would expect for a team playing who've won so many trophies in the last few seasons. And we hope that Gilbert gets a game. Can you give Gilbert a go? It would be nice.
Because, who's Gilbert?
Sorry. Gilbert
Grape? What are you talking about?
Gilbert Gilmore. I like calling him Gilbert. He strikes me as a Gilbert.
Jonathan was away with the fairies. Yes,
we apologise. We apologise for the dementia interruption. Yeah, Normal service will be resumed soon.
Sorry about that. Yeah.
So he's the only one who doesn't drink. That's the frightening thing.
Yeah. I know. It's all falling apart. This end. But yeah, as long as he doesn't play Rudiger, please. Can we ever again,
Jonathan?
Can we go back to the partnership that I thought worked vaguely?
Oh, God,
the Silver and Zuma. You know what? What's this been about? What did he pick Rudiger for twice?
Jonathan, there was that rumor kicking around that there was a bit of politics at play there, that he was either grumbling too much, being too kind of disruptive by being left out, or they're putting him in the shop window. I think that's the least likely argument, given how shonky he is. But, you know, trying to get him out by playing him a bit and saying that he's still okay to play, you know. Who knows? But I can't understand it myself because he's not good enough.
You can't do that. You can't play somebody in the shop window. You play him in the Luton game if it's a shop window, but you don't play him against top class Premier
League. Well, it's interesting because we're getting some pushback on Mixlr, which I should have said earlier on. I've ignored the Mixlr people singularly tonight, and I'm very apologetic about that. But Go Blue or Go Home says, I don't think Rudiger did anything wrong, Jonathan. Well, I have to say that positionally, I think he's woeful. And I think his distribution is equally woeful. He just hoofs it up. You know, Silva will do a long 40-yard pass to feet. Rudiger just hoofs it. And it's just not good enough. But, you know, we're all entitled to an opinion. I get that.
How can he not have done anything wrong when we lost easily and he was out of position and he went for the same ball on several occasions as Silva? Are we watching?
Well, actually, the other thing that was because of Liam's contretemps with Frank today, we didn't really get to review the Leicester match much. But, you know, one of the things I thought was interesting was that by playing I can't remember again where I found this, but it was really a really good point. But by playing Rudiger, that meant that to accommodate Rudiger, Silva had to play on the other side. You know, that he wasn't playing in his usual position. Yeah. And that's just very silly is the polite way of putting it, Dan. Anyway,
that's shit crazy. Yeah,
yeah. Dan, I mean, who do you think's going to?
So James doesn't look fit enough, does he?
Well,
He had a horror, but I think he's not fit. So actually, get his operation sorted out because you're not doing him any favors.
No.
You know, you can't afford to have a young player playing not 100% fit, making mistakes and shattering his confidence. So just bite the bullet. Get his operation done and get him back to fitness as soon as you can. Dan, who's going to start on Saturday, mate?
Yeah, I mean, the problem with that is, as Pete, you get a pacey left wing, Aspie's going to be massively exposed like he has been. But I think he'll play Aspie. I think he'll play Chilwell, Zuma, Silva, Gilmore, Mount, Havertz, and then front three. Guess it's as good as mine. I think Giroud's still injured, isn't he? I think.
Yeah. Yeah,
I play Timo down the middle. I play Pulisic and
Hudson-Odoi.
Pulisic and Odoi should be playing on the right side. Odoi should, because he's done really well.
But he still didn't play well against Leicester.
I
was bemused about how Odoi, we thought he's been getting his opportunities, he's been playing excellently, he's been playing one at the best, and he was just insipid.
The whole team with pads, so, you know, everyone around is playing pads. It's very hard for you to sort of stand out and be good.
I mean, Leicester were just in second gear all the way through. They were just
effortless. But that's what they managed to say afterwards. You know, that they were organised well to a team. Where do you think of Brendan Rodgers? He knows how to organise a team. Yeah.
He's a good coach, Dan. Well. He's a good coach.
He's a very good coach.
And they're a good team, you know. And I mean, look, I mean, I think people forget this as well. I'm not trying to make excuses for Chelsea's performance on Tuesday because it was clearly not good enough. And I mean, you'd have to be blind not to admit that. But Leicester are a good side. And, you know, he's got a good team going there. You know, they know each other's game. They don't look like Chelsea, who look like a bunch of strangers and individuals at times. But they also went top by beating Chelsea. So, you know, they're in good form. You know, so, you know, it's not a mitigating circumstance, but I think it's a realistic view of where we are at the moment compared to Leicester.
What I like to see also is Frank just say, right, I'm going to have this is my 11. I'm going to give them 5-6 games. I'm not going to chop and change, maybe interchange one or two for Tireless, but not wholesale changes week in, week out, because there's no continuity. So, you know, Timo's down the middle, a winger, two wingers, and then just have a real... Well, 5, 6, 7, 8 games. Listen, we've got Wolves and Burnley coming up after the FA Cup, and that, I think these will be the three defining games of Frank's tenure.
Well, I mean, that's what I couldn't understand about recent team selections too. Yeah. I mean, there is an aside to this, which, you know, I've often claimed with Frank that actually what Frank will do, unlike any other Chelsea manager we've seen, I can't even go that far back, but I don't know, maybe it's just naive fantastical thinking on my behalf, but I genuinely believe that because of the connection that Frank has to the club, because of his love of the club, that the decisions that he makes are in the best interests of the club and the players at that club, not himself. So whereas other managers would just do everything they have to do to save their neck, I don't think Frank will. I think he'll do what's best for the club. Just my belief. I could be wrong. But nevertheless, that notwithstanding, I think, you know, I think he'll pick Rudiger and Zouma. I don't think that Silva will start because I worry about the... We got Wolves next week.
Yeah, true.
And
yeah.
I don't think he has it in his legs. I think Kepa will start because we've been seeing Kepa, you know, in the... you know, in the cup games.
Yeah.
I think
is Christensen still injured. Sorry to interrupt. Is Christensen still injured?
Well, I think
well, fit for what?
Scrap heap.
Do you think he might pick him instead of?
Well, I hope not, because I don't think he's. I mean, you know, he should be good enough against Luton. Let's be honest. But
there's no because Gouy's on loan. There aren't any really young centre backs in the squad, are there?
Well, not now. Tomori's gone off on loan, which is, I think, pretty much been.
He's been at Milan. Have announced it.
Yeah, exactly. So, but you know, Kepa, obviously, I think. I wouldn't be surprised to see Emerson start, although I think Chilwell needs to, because I think he needs to get some confidence back. Yeah. You can't start Reece if he's not fit, so Aspie starts. I don't think Silva will start, so I wouldn't be surprised to see Zouma and Rudiger, but you're right, mate. You could quite easily see Christensen come in. Yeah. I don't think Kante will start, and in fact, again, if he's getting an over-injury, I wouldn't start him. I don't want to see Jorginho play for Chelsea again ever. So he's got to play Gilmore, and I can't see why he won't, you know, unless there's something about his recovery. Well, unless there's something about his recovery that we don't know about.
Yeah.
But I would start Gilmore. Mount always starts, and I think he has to, because he's the one player in that team who gets it and works his bollocks off and puts in a shift. You know, apart from everything else, you know, he's Frank on the pitch.
Yeah.
I would absolutely start Havertz, because Havertz needs confidence returning to him. And he'll only get that by playing. And I would start Werner for the same reason. You know, he is not going to get back into form unless he's scoring goals and having the chance to do so.
Yeah.
So Havertz and Werner have to start for me. And then it's a question of who starts on the wing. I think, you know, Ziyech is in shit form. There's a good call to be made to start him. And again, Pulisic is trying to get back into form. So why not start them both? We know Hudson-Odoi is doing all right. We know Frank's happy with him. You could say that he's got less to prove now. So, you know, in that sense, you know, maybe he needs less of a run than Ziyech and Pulisic. So there you go. That's my side.
More or less agreed, aren't we?
I think so. We usually do, to be fair.
We chose a similar team the other day, didn't we? And we're
completely wrong.
Completely wrong. Disappointed by that.
Well, is it just as well people don't listen to this for our expertise and knowledge, isn't it, really? All right. Well, look, apart from that, I mean, you know, we don't know who he's gonna pick. I mean, what I would say is that, you know, Frank knows how important the FA Cup is for this club. It was very good to him as a player for us. He knows how much we love the FA Cup. So, you know, I hope he's got it into the players how important that is, and that we wanna do the best we can. But also, I think the most important thing is, I mean, there's been a lot of talk about this week, about, you know, has he lost the dressing room? Is there a divide in the camp? All these kind of things. I don't know why they didn't put in a shift last week. I hope Frank's finding that answer this week. But, you know, they've got to put a performance in on Sunday that says, I want to play for this club, I like playing for this club, and I want to play for this manager, and I'm prepared to walk through a bloody brick wall to do it. Anything less than that is not going to be good enough in my book. And that's what I want to see. JK?
Can I just make an observation? All last season, at 70 minutes or whatever wherever the match was going, he would always ostentatiously chat to Jody.
they would have a chat. Jody would come to the front and they'd have a talk and they'd look at a few ideas and a few. Jody might get an iPad out or something. Haven't seen it at all.
Was he watching Netflix?
It could have been that. It's actually she was showing some porn or something.
You can't say things like that. That's allegedly, by the way.
Yeah, completely allegedly. No, as a joke, obviously. Obviously not in the middle of a football match. But it could be football porn. It could be old Chelsea goals. Or perhaps he's showing him a goal that he scored when he was
playing. So you're using porn as a kind of a verb, really?
Yeah, to porn. Yeah. To Gilbert. Yeah, exactly similar. So, I'm just bemused as to what role Jody's having in this at the moment.
Well, Jody is the guy who sets it up, you know, tactically, really. That's his role, from what I'm led to believe.
Well, then he's...
there lies the problem.
Yeah, you know, nothing's happening, is it? Perhaps he's not doing it anymore. Or perhaps whenever he does do it, Frank disagrees. Or perhaps there's... it was just something I noticed. They were very much more of a team last season.
But there's a...
And I'm not getting that at all.
Well, I think in a sense... Look, here's the thing, people, and this is a big thing to bring in at the kind of the 11th hour, but... It's very difficult for us because, I mean, none of us have managed a football club, obviously, but or coached one, more to the point. But I think it's really difficult for us to gauge how difficult it is to... Well, actually, do you know what? I mean, I don't know if you've ever had any experience of managing anything else, but I think the same rules apply. If you have a really good group of people who have formed and bonded and, you know, become a really good team, and then... In the next year, you bring in four or five different people who have to be absorbed into that team. It can be really, really discombobulating and really disruptive. And I don't think we've seen it. I've mentioned this in articles that I've written about what happened to Fulham a couple of years ago, what happened to Villa last year. It can be really difficult to absorb and get them to gel and redefine that bond and that team ethic. So when I think you say last year, Jonathan, yeah, but they looked a real team last year. I agree. They did. Because they were. But this is a different year and you've got to accommodate all those different players and changes. And maybe it's proving to be really difficult.
And egos, of course.
Oh, well, there's always that as well, you know. Maybe they just don't... Maybe he just doesn't manage the Chelsea Football Club in the brilliant way that I manage all the different personalities and egos on the Chelsea Fancast.
One has to remember, yeah, that we are unbelievably egotistical, me and Dan, for example, and you do very well.
And obviously, I'm not. I'm just so shy and retiring.
You are.
And accommodating.
You're the wallflower.
Yeah, you are a wallflower, Chidge. Yeah.
So there you go. Lampard out, Chidge in.
One statement to make is Havertz and Werner were two of the best players in the Bundesliga last year.
Yeah, but it's a different league, mate, isn't it?
It doesn't matter.
Well, it does matter because they're playing for different managers. They're playing for different players and different systems. You know, all of these things come into it.
Adapting through a pandemic. Listen, I tweeted during the week.
I'm just trying to look from the club's point of view.
If you look at it from the club's point of view, we're doomed because there's not one person on that board. And what I mean by that, I mean Bruce, Guy Lawrence, Marina, Eugene Tannenbaum. I don't mean Petr Cech, because I think Petr Cech probably knows more about football than you, me and Dan will ever know. But that lot, I would put money on the fact that I know more about football than any of them.
100%. Yeah. I tweeted the week that Frank's come in, he's had to deal with the transfer ban, a pandemic, a back-to-back season in 18 months. That's, for any manager, that's a hell of a lot to take on. And that's ridiculous. I mean, that's just three, you know... He didn't sign up for that after the transfer ban. No one could have foreseen the pandemic. And then literally back-to-back seasons, 3 weeks in between, no time to gel, no time to get the players integrated. It's tough. Look how tough Klopp's finding it as an experienced manager.
Indeed. I agree, but there must be something happening that has got...
Liam said
that they're lining up a whole... Because he was saying that
it's a business.
Stuff that he didn't want to talk about.
Not a business. I'm sure Mourinho, they were looking at people maybe off season three or season four. You know, I'm sure they do it as a matter of course. They talk to people, they talk to agents, the same way as they do to players. Doesn't mean it's going to happen.
I know, but he was almost inferring that...
That
it was too far gone.
My friends, is the living, breathing definition of confirmation bias. And if we had Martin... And I wasn't going to push Liam on that. He's had a rough enough day as it is without me pitching into him. But actually, that's what Frank's talking about. You know, it's...
Yeah.
It's confirmation bias in the fact that, you know, journalists write an article, okay, and in a sense, unconsciously want it to become true because it validates what they've said and it makes them look like good journalists.
Yeah.
You know?
I said, ultimately, a stop clock is right twice a day. Frank's going to get sacked. Well, he's not going to get
sacked. Well, I mean, Frank is going to get sacked at some time. It's not a question of if, it's a question of when. I would prefer it's after about 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, whatever years, you know, when he's done a brilliant job and created a brilliant team to rival the one that he played in and made these these youngsters into fantastic first team world class players. That's what I want to see because I think we need to, purely by luck and serendipity, we found ourselves in a pickle with the transfer ban. It provided the conduit to putting a lot of these youngsters in. We know that Roman wanted that and has always wanted that. Well, if that's what you want, deal with the pain in getting there and be patient about it. You know, don't have fucking small testicles and throw your toys out of the pram after a season and a half. You know, that's my view. But they're the ones that run the club and it's their arse and their money on the line. So you can understand why they might do that. I fundamentally disagree with it, but that as is my right. But, you know, there's bugger all I can do about it, unfortunately.
Yeah, agreed.
Anyway, on after that mini, that's almost a rant by me there. Goodness me. The beer talking.
It was.
Okay, it was. All right, I'll take that. Right, listen, chaps. What is going to happen? How do we see it going? I'm going to give you a stat before you answer that, all right? Which I love this stat. I didn't even know it existed. One of the nice things about doing this show on a Friday is that I get to steal Rick Glanville's wonderful work on his pre-match briefing. Dan's grinning because he's figured that out. But this is a great stat. Chelsea's previous 8 FA Cup home wins came to nil. How about that, Dan?
That's impressive, yeah. I mean, our cup record is phenomenal over the last 20, 25 years. Yeah, we're just brilliant. I said, I love the FA Cup. I'm really sad we can't go. You know, something about the FA Cup when you've got the entire away end shed end full of away fans from a lower league is always so much fun. Just the sheer joy they get from coming to a Premier League club. So that's I am going to miss not going. But it's the FA Cup. You've got to think, you know, we beat Luton and, you know, Norwich or whoever is in the next round. We have hopefully got a path to the quarterfinals.
Yeah, I hadn't thought of that. I forgot the fact that
One Liverpool Man U are going to go out. Southampton or Arsenal are going to go out.
Yeah.
So some decent teams are going to drop by the wayside. So, you know, who knows? Who knows? Listen, if Frank could turn it around, he could end up coming top four and win the FA Cup.
And I think this is the thing that, as you could say, I mean, I did do a bit of a rant there. JK was spot on. But I think that's my frustration because I think this season of all seasons, when things are so mad and unpredictable and you suddenly see Man United utter shit at the beginning of the season, now they're at the top. Arsenal in 17th position and now they're getting back. Liverpool on firing on all cylinders and suddenly they're as shonky as we are at the moment. Things turn around.
Their home
record, haven't they, which I rather loved.
Yeah. But, you know,
Donald Trump's had more impeachments than they've had home goals this year.
Exactly, there you go. You know, things this year are very odd and different and things can turn around and we are not adrift. I mean, we are not in Jose Mourinho territory in 2015 here by any stretch of the imagination where we played badly. There was a possibility that if something didn't happen, we might get relegated. It was that real. I remember it. And of course, all the players hated him. We're not in that territory at all. So for the club to be wandering around, you know, I mean, I wonder what goes on at that club sometimes. I really do. And I think Dan, as always, he nailed it, JK. Ultimately, I think you have to view Chelsea Football Club through one lens and one lens alone. And that's, it's all about money. You know, it's all about revenue. And when they get a sniff that that might be affected, they do something.
But we've been saying this, haven't we, that if he doesn't make fourth and goes out of the Champions League... early that he's not fulfilling his part of the bargain, regardless of
wait till the end of the season. And then wait till the end of the season if he doesn't do it.
But they'll know, won't they? If they go out against Atletico and the team's about 14th, you know that appears to me to be the kind of time they might be thinking.
And yet still, there's no point doing that because you know it's not you know the. I get the converse argument.
I'm playing devil's advocate.
No, but you're right. Yeah. The converse argument is that if you desperately want to get fourth and you really think that he's not going to get fourth, then act to try and make sure that we do. Why wait until it's a fait accompli and you don't make fourth?
Yeah.
But I mean, you know what's you know who knows? Look, at the end of the day, there's nothing we can do. What's going to happen on Sunday, JK?
We're going to win 4-2.
4-2.
Yeah, I think they'll score twice because we're a bit poor at the moment.
Poor.
Yeah, very poor.
Poor.
We're a bit poor. Yeah.
They're rubbish at scoring goals, though, Luton, mate, and we don't let them in at home in the FA Cup.
5-1. Okay, 3-0. We're going to win.
Okay. You're going to go for 3-0?
Yeah.
Yeah. You sound really, really convinced.
Well, they're terrible at the moment. What am I supposed to say? You know, I'm the man who earlier on said we were going to win everything when we were playing wonderfully. How are the mighty fallen?
Oh,
you know?
You see, you hexed it, mate. It's all your fault.
I did. It was my fault saying when you said, you know, I said we're going to beat everybody. We'll end up winning the league easily.
This is the guy, by the way, who's still at the bottom of the Prem Predictions League. He's now been overtaken by Harry Burke, who only joined last week. You didn't know that, did you?
No, because he's not part of the Chelsea Fancast, is he? I only look at the Chelsea Fancast bits, don't I?
So you're bottom of that one by a long way, mate.
Of course I am. Okay. I don't know why you bothered to ask me to predict anything if I'm going to get given a hard time for
gentlemen, we love you anyway. Dan, so he says 3-0. What do you say, Dan?
I am going to think we're going to turn up. Really comprehensive performance. We're going to win 5-1.
Okay. Well, I'm going to go. I'm actually with JK here. I think 3-0. I think that stat's a beauty, and I think that I don't think Luton are very good at scoring. That's pretty much what all
yeah,
the.
Goal, so.
There's always that, isn't there? Fuck. No, I'm going to go 3-0. 3-0. I'm going to stay with 3. See, now what worries me is if I'm predicting the same as JK, that's dangerous. So I might say 2-0. Okay, I'm going to say 2-0. All right. I'm going to change my mind. I'm going to go 2-0.
You sure you don't want to go 4-0 just to be different?
I'm not feeling that confident for a 4-0. They're a championship side. They're not like Morecambe.
That's true.
You know? They're not idiots. Anyway, the thing is, come Sunday afternoon, we will know. We will literally know the score. I mean, what I do hope, as I said, the thing that I hope most for, whatever the result is that they play... You know, they play like they give a shit, you know, and they put a lot of effort in, and they play for us, they play for Frank, and actually they play for their own bloody self-respect, because I think they lost a lot of that on Tuesday, and they need to put a shift in and put a performance in on Sunday, and that's what I hope for. Right, you lovely people. That's it for this Friday. Thank God for that, I hear some of you saying. But it's been brilliant to see so many people in Mixlr tonight listening live. I'm sorry, it's always a bit hectic on Friday, so it's hard for me to kind of, you know, read all of your comments and bring them in, although I do try. But it's lovely to see you nevertheless. Me and JK will be back on Monday, of course, for the usual Chelsea Fancast, and we'll be joined by the Right Reverend Tony Glover and Dane Whittle, when, of course, we'll be looking back at the Luton match, which hopefully we will have won by more than 2-0. And, of course, we'll be looking ahead to the tough Wolves match on Wednesday. So there you go. Dan, always lovely to see you, mate.
Yeah, good to be on. Thank you very much.
Yeah, have an enjoyable weekend. Stay safe, my friend. And JK, always lovely to see you on a Friday.
I've contributed very little tonight. Dan has been on fire. Joy to hear him. No, it's no good saying stop it. You have. You've been great.
Do you know what your best contribution has been tonight?
My background's nice.
Yes! Darbley Street.
Yeah, Darbley Street.
I used to have an office in Darbley Street.
Did you?
I could. If you moved, I could probably see it. Yeah. Yeah.
In the way.
Yeah. No, your chair's in the way. But I did. I had an office in Darbley Street when I was a media mogul.
Okay.
So there you go. His days are sadly long gone. But there you go. JK, lovely to see you as always, my friend. You stay safe. Take care this weekend. And I look forward to reconvening on Monday.
Monday, yeah.
Brilliant stuff. Right, you lot out there, thank you for listening. See you next week. Until then, keep it blue, keep it carefree, and keep it Chelsea. Up the Chelsea! It's the 90th minute. All your mates around. You've got your McNuggets share boxes ready to go. Your mates already got booked for double dipping, and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Perfect! Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in? At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Hold up. What was that?
Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.